Praise and thanks be to our God for his grace and faithfulness. We now have the privilege of being here again in this morning hour, being in the presence of our Lord, worshipping his name, thanking him for all that he has done for us, for his faithfulness and truth. It is so wonderful to know and to sing along, as we have just sung, "Explore me, Jesus, my light, search my innermost being. My own endeavors are no good. I draw near willingly. I draw near to you." And that is our endeavor. That is all we have. And if we have sung it, if we have sung it before the Lord, as he wants to see it, "Search me, Jesus, my light, search my innermost being," then it is of a truth that we can find nothing in ourselves, and we can see nothing, can perceive nothing. But the only thing we can see and perceive is our guilt and sin. But to him be thanks and honor. He has taken away our sin. He brought them to the cross. He died for them. And so we can willingly draw near to him. We can make ourselves completely available to him. And he will be with us. He will accompany and guide us. I don't know, but last night, we all know the sermon or have read it. What shall you do, or what shall I do with Jesus? What will we do with him? What about us? What about you and me? What about us? What do we do with our Lord? We have heard that he was tried and executed. But may God grant us grace to recognize in him the executed man, our Lord, our Savior, and it is he who wants to lead and guide us. Now, before we pray together, I would like to read a word, a very well-known word from Mark chapter 3. Two passages. From verse 1 it is written, in Mark chapter 3 from verse 1, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." This passage up to here. We heard last night, as I said, in what way our Lord was taken. The way he had to go before the High Council, and how Brother Branham pointed out the way they were after him. They were watching him, eavesdropping on him, and looking for a reason to get him out of the way. And here is the same thing in this passage we have read. But our Lord and Master, our God, whom we serve, He recognized the thoughts of the hearts of that time. He recognizes and also knows our thoughts and knows why we are here, why we have come here. As we heard even yesterday in the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 9, in what a way God spoke and pointed out how hearts are wicked, how they are evil. And so it was here, and today we want to ask ourselves the question, how do we come before the Lord? We have read it. There stood a man, and he asked the question, what should one do on the Sabbath? Do good or do evil? Preserve a life or kill it? They gave no answer because their thoughts, their hearts were evil. And so the Lord has finished His work and has done it to glorify the name of God, the name of the Father whom He loved, who sent Him. And so we come, you and I come, we come here together to glorify the name of our Lord, that our hearts may be filled with what He has prepared for us. Here we read on, but Jesus withdrew Himself with His disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed Him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things He did, came unto Him. And He spake to His disciples that a small ship should wait on Him because of the multitude, lest they should throng Him. For He had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon Him for to touch Him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw Him, fell down before Him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And He straitly charged them that they should not make Him known. Up to here, a contrast that we have read. Once He comes into the synagogue and addresses those who know the law, addresses those who teach the law, addresses those to whom the people should look up and know who He was. And then He goes back to the sea with His disciples and departs, and many people are there, and they have come to Him, for they heard of Him. And the marvelous thing that is written here is, for He had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon Him for to touch Him, as many as had plagues. And I believe this is the reason, and this is the invitation that the Lord gives us today. You and me, we want to approach Him by force. We want to press upon Him, for He is our healer. He is our Redeemer. He is our Deliverer. He is our King and God. And we want to thank and honor Him and glorify His name so that He may be glorified and praised. Let us now stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and faithfulness. Lord, I thank You for Your holy word that You give and have given us, Lord. Thank You that we may see the way in which you have been dealt with, O God. We thank you that you have left us the word, O Lord. If they have done it to the green wood, what will become of the dry, O God? What will become of us, O Lord? What will become of me and of each of us, O God? I ask you, Lord, keep us in thy name. Keep us in thy word. Keep us in thy spirit, Lord. Lead and guide us, O God, that we may honor and praise your name, Lord, that your name may not be trodden in dishonor and in filth, Lord, but that you, Lord, may be glorified. We pray, Lord, bless us this morning. Bless your word. Bless the lips, O Lord, through which you will speak, O God. We ask it in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We read from this sermon last night, What Shall I Do with Jesus? And we realized that we are all addressed, not only the people then, but also we today. What are you doing? What am I doing with Jesus? What can he do with you and with me? What do we do with his word? And what can he do in us through his word? We have established in this sermon that the scribes of that time were quite sure that this man called Jesus from Nazareth had to go, that he had to be crucified, that he had blasphemed God. And we know from the word of God what else they had to say. And we know just as well that they, with the word of God, with their worship, with their services, they were totally blinded and did not know what they were doing. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is whether we agree with God and God's word. Not just with individual verses that we pick out and perhaps take out of context and decorate ourselves with, but with the word of God that has been promised for this hour, for this time. Because many people have a general faith. Millions of people have a general faith in God. This general faith is not enough to stand your ground before God. According to Jude, verse 3, it must be the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And Brother Branham says in a sermon that this is the lifeline and the fellowship with God, that God's word is revealed to us by the Spirit, and that this is how we get the connection to God. What do we do with Jesus? What do I do with him? What are you doing with him? We have already read two scriptures here this morning. One is from the Gospel of Mark, and two verses in particular caught my eye. Verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, our Lord was love personified. And he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. He looked at many with anger, but he looked at one with grace and love, the one who had come to receive salvation and healing. He looked at him with love and grace. The others who had come to rebuke him, to trap him, he looked at them in anger. Has he changed? Or is he still the same today? There are people whom God looks at in anger, and there are people whom he looks at in favor. Which group do you belong to? Which one do I belong to? That is the question. And then the other verse. That's verse 11. It says here, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him. This word also touches my heart. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, he was the pure one, the holy one. He was the Lord. And everything else could not stand before him. And it says here, whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him. The scribes didn't even think about it, because they had the Bible in their hands and thought to be masters of the scripture. But the demons knew who Jesus was and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. People said he was of the devil. And the devil said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. We know who you are, the Son of God. Can you see the difference? Shouldn't it have been the other way around? Shouldn't the believers of that time have said who Jesus is? And the demons have denied him. But it was the other way around. Have the times changed? Have people changed? Have spirits changed? Has anything changed? No. We just mean it has changed. Basically, it is, as Brother Brenham literally said, man dies, but the spirit that possessed him lives on in others. And so it is. People die, but the Spirit of God lives on in believers, and the spirit of the world in the sons of disobedience. Then we read this serious verse from Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We all know that our Lord said in the Gospel of John, probably in chapter 8, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. And he bore witness to the truth. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Now it is said here that the truth is held in unrighteousness. And so we also recognize at this time that God's truth has been revealed. It must not be suppressed in unrighteousness after it has been brought to the surface. It must be accepted. It must be received. It must be believed as it has been revealed. There is no point in trying to suppress divine truths revealed by the Spirit privately in an unrighteous way. For God is righteous who has spoken. He is true who has revealed it. And he will at least establish his word in his own, and we will be a part of the word. What did we read here last night? That God has a time for everything. I read this passage again from page 13. See, many times that he lets us become blind until the hour that we have need of it. He lets us become blind to the things that we see today. For this is the hour we have need of it, to vindicate the day that we are in. Our fathers didn't know these things. I would like to go a very big step further, without timidity. Not only our fathers, but the man God used to speak in this generation did not know everything all at once either, but depended on God to reveal things to him as God's people needed it. So we have been led on step by step. And we can read for ourselves in the sermons that he actually had certain things revealed to him little by little. And if we know all this, blessed are we if we receive it. It is not a contradiction, but a spiritual growth. Of course, people can say, "Huh, why didn't he preach this from the beginning?" There are enough people who know Brother Branham as an evangelist, and then they simply say that he later deviated and brought teachings that no longer corresponded with those he preached at the beginning. That is not the question. The question is, why these people did not recognize the spiritual development and progress in the kingdom of God in this prophetic time in which we live. We know that we are led from knowledge to knowledge, from revelation to revelation, from clarity to clarity. But what does that look like in practice? In theory, we all know that. And when it comes to practice, we kick out to the left and right. And yet, God looks down on us and He tests our reaction to everything He has spoken and revealed. He sometimes says, of course, I read now from page 8, it fulfills what the Lord spoke to me in 1933. And we are standing at that time this morning. Jesus Christ, the Word, is at trial today, as it was on the crucifixion. And now He is on our hands. He is on the hands of the world. The Word has been clearly identified around the world. And now He stands on trial. All denominations turn Him down. The world doesn't even realize it. They think they are dealing with the Bible and can say whatever they like about it or whatever others have said, not realizing that they cannot separate the Bible from God, because the Bible is God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And whoever separates himself from the Bible separates himself from God. Whoever separates himself from His Word separates himself from Him. Here we are told that Jesus Christ, the Word, is again on trial today. We don't even see Jesus, but He is the Word. And people think they can do what they want with the Word. And they don't realize that what they are doing with His Word, they are basically doing with Him without knowing it. And that is the trouble. It goes one step further. Everything we have done to one of the least of these who belong to Him, we have done to Him. And does not our Lord say, their angels always behold the face of my Father in heaven? Whatever we do to one another, we do to our Lord and Savior, who paid the price for us on Calvary. It goes on to say, because of the blind traditions and systems, they could not see that He was God. Their own prophets, to whom the Word came, said that He would be God. The blind systems, so they had rejected the Word and desired a murderer instead. Barabbas. Those who do not accept the revealed Word of God give it up to crucifixion, and there is no one else to choose but Barabbas, the murderer. And it is an entire system that is nothing but spiritual murder, led into the great trap. They go into it from all directions. You can read this sermon again to grasp the details and then also the overall meaning. It goes on to say, the Word being clearly for this day has been vindicated. It's been made real. It's been shown to be the truth at the last days, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, and so forth, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The very God Himself, who was the Word, predicted the end time and what would happen, and the lights would break forth in the evening time. According to Malachi 4, He would send forth these things and prove them. And it's been brought to the place of a decision. And I mean that we all cannot ignore it. Not just big churches and denominations, but every individual will have to make their decision before God. I read on from page 23. I believe we are so close to the end. And I'm going to say something now. There is so many people trying to explain the mechanics, although they don't know it. You know, you should know about it. What if somebody would have said, Noah, I want you to explain the mechanics of how the ark flowed. He couldn't do it. You don't have to know the mechanics, just the dynamics of it. See, the dynamics is what you want to know. If somebody from the people of Israel would have come up to Moses and say, Moses, I want to understand, how could you create animals with your own word? You all know, Moses spoke the plagues at the command of the Lord, and what he said happened because he spoke in the name of the Lord. He spoke God's word through his lips. And as we have said often enough, God's word remains God's word. Even if it comes from human lips, it loses neither validity nor power. God's word remains God's word and accomplishes what it was sent to do. If someone had asked Moses, listen, how did you do that you took a handful of soot and threw it into the air, and then all kinds of gnats emerged? If someone had asked Moses, how did you do that? Then Moses would have been able to give him a clear answer. Dear friend, I only acted on the word of God and threw the ashes into the air. God did the rest. Ask him how he did it. Isn't that a marvelous thing? We do what God has commanded us to do, and he does the rest. We can hardly explain what we have to do, let alone can we ever explain how God lets signs and wonders happen by His grace. And yet we know that the Lord has not left Himself without bearing witness from beginning of time. Who is to explain the mechanics? That is to say, who is to explain the composition and realization of these things? Who can explain creation? Who can explain the Creator? Who can explain redemption and the Redeemer? Who can explain all this? No one. God has done it. And as He is beyond our comprehension, and I think it is written in Nehemiah, and all the heaven of heavens cannot comprehend Thee. Who are we to explain God or His actions? Moses stands before the Red Sea, and the Lord says to him, "Lift up your rod, and I will part the sea." If someone had asked Moses, "How did you do it?" he would have had to say again, "I only raised my staff because the Lord commanded me to do so." The Almighty God did the rest, and the waters stood to the right and to the left, inexplicable to us. The unbelievers shake their heads and think to themselves, "Well, they are stupid enough to believe such things." Yes, we are stupid enough to believe everything that God has done and promised. And I'm telling you today how it will be in the end. That's one thing I actually know now. In the end, those who are wise now will be the fools, and those who are fools now will be the wise in the end. That much I know, and that much all of you know, who you know the Word of God. So let us gladly be considered as fools, if only we have been made wise in the eyes of God, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said back then, when he wrote to the Corinthians, "Where is there a wise man among you? Where are the wise? Who has recognized the Lord of glory? Not one among them." And at the time of Jesus, when the blind man or whoever it was healed, the wise people of that time said, "Only the common people follow him." And they asked, "Did any of the rulers believe in him?" No, none of them. Only the common people. But I tell you, this common people, this low class of people, is today respected in paradise with God in glory. Despised here on earth and misjudged as all kinds of things, recognized by God and elevated to divine status as sons and daughters of God, they have gone before us, and Christ is there. Do you know where He actually is? Where His word is believed? For He is inseparable from His word. I am reading here from page 25. I already read that yesterday. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure. While the headstone is coming down, I just have to stop here. Brother Branham, in his humble way, which he did not acquire, but which was a part of his life and his whole being, he said here that it was effective in a small measure among us. And when we look back, it was absolutely not a small, but a full apostolic measure of blessings that God gave in His ministry. And He compares what will happen in the end with what has already happened and says, what we have worked in a small measure among us. What then shall be at the very end? We may look at ourselves today and perhaps as then see a Job on the ash heap and shake our heads and walk away. But I tell you that God can and will change an entire situation in a single day. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It goes on to say, while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body, but when that head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost would raise her up, that even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight to the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. So, the final outpouring of the Spirit will never fade. It will never cease. It will culminate in the rapture, in the resurrection of those who have gone before us, in the transformation and in being taken up. We can rely on this. And as the hymn writer sings, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. And then we come back to the point that the latter rain can only give life to the seed that is in the heart. At the time when God sends the rain, may only divine seed be found unmixed in your heart and mine. For the rain brings forth every seed, no matter what kind it may be. Now comes something very sad. First of all, the spiritual or Christian and religious development in the churches and so forth is described here, up to the mark of the beast. And now Brother Branham draws the comparison. Like by the same means Mother Eve corrupted the whole world to a physical death. Listen. Mother Eve corrupted the whole human race by physical death. How? By rejecting the word and accepting something almost like it. She caused all physical death because she left the true word. She believed the true word. Just a little bit of it, she didn't. Do you realize what this is about? It's about every word that came forth from the mouth of God. She believed the true word. Just a little bit of it, she didn't. Every heartache, every death, everything that exists on earth was caused because she deviated a tiny bit from the full word of God. Eve done it, the mother of death. Now you see where we are coming. The mother of death, notice, she doubted the word. That's a lesson for all of us. On page 28 it says, but God has said, and that settles it, the word. See, it started with just a little misconstruing of the word. God had said it, and by this it was said forever. But the enemy came and said, is that what God meant? Should God really? God not only should, God already had. He had said, and that was the end of it. I don't believe there is a single person on earth who has the right to sit or place himself as master over what God has spoken. I do not believe it. Certainly not. And certainly not that a sister has the right to do so. Spiritual death is the result of what we think we have to say about God's word. God's word is clearly stated. In it is life and fellowship with God. Interpretation is always from another source and causes death. Listen to what comes next. Notice, a daughter is a product of a mother and father by a union. Now, here is something shocking. But death, physical death, is the uniting of Mother Eve and Satan. By disbelieving God's word, they united and brought in the product of death. Death is a product of uniting Satan and Eve together. Through these scriptures, we are brought back to the beginning. Life comes from God. Life is in the Word of God and fellowship with God in all who receive God's Word into themselves. The enemy has not denied God's Word. He has only interpreted it beautifully. And the interpretations are always much longer, much more plausible, much clearer than the word. Have you noticed? When people interpret, it seems much clearer. They explain everything so beautifully. Oh, somehow enlightenment comes that wasn't in the word of God. Don't worry about it. There is enough enlightenment in the Word of God for everyone who is enlightened by the Spirit of God. And in everything that people think they have to say, you can forget it. There is someone else behind it. I read on. Eve had the Word. Satan is against the Word. And look, almost 99% of it, Satan admitted was right. So close. And the Bible says, in the last days, even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. I don't know if it's appropriate here. And I also don't know 100% whether it is in the will of God. But I have been very moved by one thought over the last few days. And you in particular, sisters, should simply ignore it unless God is speaking to your hearts in a special way. But if we go back into church history, we can observe certain things, and some of them still continue to this day. Where does all hardship come from? Where does all the sorrow, all the confusion, and all the killing and murder come from? We know that Satan is the murderer from the beginning, but we also know that he did not approach Adam, but Eve. Who has all the dreams? Who has all the revelations? Who is being addressed in these days? Were men burned 250 years ago? No. It is still known today, and it is called burning of witches. Why was it only about women in those days, and not about a man? I say to you today, and perhaps in the name of the Lord, if Satan takes a man, he can do very little harm. But if he takes a woman, he can do the greatest harm. Have you ever heard of men being burned in those days? It were burning of witches. Today, when the gypsies roam the countryside, the man in the Mercedes stays somewhere at the entrance to the village. And who comes to your house with a long dress and a big apron? And who wants to read your palm lines? And who is it that goes into the houses? Is it the man in the Mercedes? No, he stays there. And who's coming in? And who wants to bring you luck? And what are her first words? I'll bring you luck. We need to come to our senses and realize that God has not yet changed. Who did he use? God used prophets, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Moses and Elijah, and all the prophets, and sent them. He has apostles, evangelists, teachers. He has called men to carry out his ministry. Sisters, you have your place. God has assigned it to you in his kingdom. But you must take this place. Only then can you become a blessing. And who thinks themselves most spiritually? Is it the brothers? I have met very few brothers who think they are spiritual. Believe me, today we have a frank talk with each other. Who feels spiritual? Who is guided by God? Who has the connection to God and all the revelations? It's time for us to think about it. And it's time for God to give us anointed eyes to recognize where there is destruction and where there is construction, where God's word is proclaimed and where everything else is done. And when we have realized this, then God will surely be able to go a little further with us. It goes on here. Just a little, a bitty part of it, 1/100th of 1% unbelief, but it must be 100%. That's all. Notice, God's daughter, the church, the bride, is also a product of God and His Word uniting. Hallelujah. The bride, the church, also comes from a union, namely from the union with God and with His Word. It goes on to say, the Holy Spirit uniting in a body of flesh, it produced the Son of God, a product of the righteousness of God. And in the last day, as we are told, the bride will be united by the Word of God, made manifest in the flesh. The Holy Spirit sealing them into God and sealing unbelief out on the outside. People who have received and accepted the Word of God and are sealed by the Holy Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ must have been snatched away from unbelief in the Word of God once and for all. And they should no longer have anything to do with an interpretation, but with the original Word, in order to become a Word church. I read on. God's body, united as His bride, being one. Him and Christ together is the Spirit working in the flesh of the church, like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ, cause it's part of His body, not twain, but one. They are one. A husband and wife is no longer two, but one. Christ and His body is one. And the same Spirit that was in Christ is in His bride, in His body, and He unites them together with all the Word. And God Himself dwells in it and reveals Himself. How much more time will we need to say yes in our hearts to every word of God? Beloved, time has passed so quickly, and I believe that God wants to speak to us all through this word. And it is not worth that we let our thoughts wander far away to organizations and denominations, but that we each take our broom and sweep in front of our own doors, and that we hold the mirror of His Word before our eyes and say, Lord, how do I stand before You? If You came today, would I stand my ground before You? Would I be taken up? Today, the body of the Lord is torn. And Brother Branham says, already in the 50s, probably in the sermon, United Under One Head, he says, the sickest body I know on earth is the body of Jesus Christ, and it needs divine healing. Today, Everything is in all directions under heaven, and it seems there are more than four cardinal points. In the natural, you only know about east and west, south and north, and then it stops. And in the spiritual, there seem to be as many currents as east and southwest and northwest and southwest. You no longer know at all. Yes, where is the orientation? Where is the standard? Where is the word we must and can abide by? Jesus is left to me and you through His revealed word in this time. We can do as the people did back then who knew the scriptures and said, we have Moses and Abraham is our father. We can say, we have Paul and we have Peter. And if this goes a little bit further, then, right? Oh, it doesn't go further. It only goes deeper to reveal the full scope of the divine plan of salvation at the end of time. And as we have emphasized, it's the last speaking of God. In the days of Moses, and let me speak out today, God had not yet said all that He wanted to say, and God has continued to speak, and He has spoken in my days. And the question is, has He been able to speak to you and to me? Of course, we can say, I have Paul. I have Paul. You all know I've been to the Vatican at least 3 times on my travels. They have Peter there in a big picture. And they kiss his right foot all the time. And they say, Peter is the rock. You can quickly say, I have this, I have that. The question is whether you and I are up to date in the kingdom of God. Whether we accept and believe the things that God has revealed, or whether we move them back and forth and wait until someone comes along and says, listen, that's not quite how it should be understood. And then the argumentation begins and the confusion sets in. Disaster and spiritual death are the result of such things. Anyone who has truly received God's word in their heart and grasped it in faith will not allow anyone to interpret anything for them. They remain before the face of God. And here the word of the Apostle Paul applies. If anyone among you has a different opinion, let God reveal it to him. Not any roustabout, but God who reveals God's word. The same Holy Spirit who gave the word reveals it in the hearts of individuals. Everything else, and don't forget this, remember forever and always that the devil, the old serpent, did not come on all fours in the Garden of Eden. Only from the time after we had done this mischief did the Lord God say, cursed are you, and you shall crawl on your belly. That came through the curse. The devil still walks on 2 legs. Don't think he will come any other way. Don't think that. But realize that things are still the same today as they were then. May God truly give grace. Oh, how we long for that day. And I personally desire it with all my heart as a gift from God to see myself in complete conformity with the Word of God and to see the day that we as individuals and as a church could be joined and united under one head, under Jesus Christ, so that the quickening power can be revealed. Today, one group prays here, one group prays there. Who should God hear? Where should God go everywhere? Oh, that we could realize it. He is there, where people gather in His name under the sound of His word. And I dare say that God wants to reveal Himself to us here this morning and wants to place the importance of the revealed word before our eyes and also in our hearts. May the Lord God bless us and be with us by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing the verse, "Just as I am." Let us bow our heads and remain in silent prayer before God. Perhaps there is someone here who would like to dedicate their life to God. After all, eternity has no end, and no one can live forever unless he has eternal life. And there is only one eternal life, and that is in God. And God was revealed in Christ Jesus, His only begotten Son. He was able to say, "He who sees me sees the Father. In Him alone is eternal life." While we bow our heads, close our eyes, dear hearts, shortly the last altar call will be given. Shortly, the last one will be called out and added. We do not know who it will be, nor the time, but it is near. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would like those who wish to be included in this prayer to raise their hands briefly and put them down again. Heavenly Father, I thank You with all my heart, O God. We are dealing with You and not with a human being, with Your word that You have revealed, O Lord. I ask You to bring me into complete conformity with Thy word, with Thy spirit. Faithful God, this is my desire. Help me that it may be satisfied and fulfilled. I pray You for the whole bride church. May she be a word bride and church, called out, prepared, and adorned for the glorious day of Thy return. Beloved Lord, bless all who have raised their hands. Cleanse us from all carnal and spiritual and mental defilement. May You come into Your own and be able to reveal and prove Yourself as faithful and as the same. If what happened was supposed to have been small, what will it be like? What is yet to happen? Beloved Lord, take us all and bless us. Make us obedient I pray for my house, for my relatives, for all your people, for the house of God, for all the sons and daughters of God. May the enemy take his filthy hand from all the purified children of God, and may the hand of the Lord God come upon them, and may they be delivered from every influence of spirits, and be placed under the leadership of your Holy Spirit. Faithful Lord, reveal your right hand. May your right hand uphold the victory of the cross of Calvary. We thank you and praise you and worship you. Bless us all from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, Amen.